another x-ray, they'll x-ray it again, and if it hasn't moved, then we're good to go. Just got to wait for it to heal completely. It has moved 1 millimeter, but the doctor that I met with last week when I had the x-ray said that it's still good. It's not a problem. He says if it moves anymore, though, it might be. So I've been trying to be careful, but it shouldn't move, right? We'll see. All right, it's good to be here with you this morning. Looking forward to the day together today. And what a lot of work has gone into the decorations of the church, the pictures that have been brought in, the slideshows, different things that we'll experience through the day. So I'm really looking forward to the time that we're going to spend together as we remember and honor those that have served and are serving, have laid down their lives. And it's going to be a good day. I'm looking forward to it. Why don't we begin by taking a look at Genesis chapter 41, just to keep with our Sunday school time. This morning we're going to do something a little different, but this morning we'll go back to Genesis chapter 41 and continue through the life of Joseph as we've been learning a little bit about this guy named Joseph and what he's all about. Before I do, I'm going to pray here, and then before we start reading the chapter, I'm going to ask us, just as a bit of a refresher, what we remember about Joseph, what kind of character he had, what kind of personality that he had, just to remind us. Is the purpose for taking a look at the life of a Bible character — I always hate to say character because it makes them sound like they didn't exist, but these are real individuals that really lived. But when we look at their lives, what we're trying to do is we're trying to glean from their experiences lessons, examples, things that we can apply in our lives, as well as we're watching them as they interact in their circumstances with the Lord God Almighty to learn more about God and how God would have us to interact with Him in our day and age. And though the scenery, is what I'm trying to say, has changed, right? It's a little different here in Canada than what it was for Joseph as he was in Egypt. The scenery is not the same, but it's the same God. And we have the same kinds of difficulties and the same kinds of human nature. We have to deal with very many of the same things. Just the scenery has changed. So let me pray, and then we'll start with remembering who Joseph is. Father, we thank You for the time that we can be together this morning. Thank You again for what we learn about our missionaries. And God, even as we begin our day of worship together, we know that these folks gathered together in different churches and different meeting places and different houses all around the globe. And we ask, Father, that not only us and not only our missionaries, but also the church, Father, as You see it today around the globe, that, Lord, You would be pleased, that You would be honored as we meet together and worship You, as we pray to You, as we sing praises to You, as we remember Christ, Your Son, who died on the cross to save us from our sins. Oh, Lord, we just ask that You would just continue to remind us of these truths. Bless our day, bless our time in our Sunday school, excuse me, but also in our morning service, Father, as we spend this special time together today. We ask Your blessing now in Christ's name, amen. So in regards to Joseph, just before we get into the text, what comes to mind? What kind of person was he? What have you sort of grabbed the hold of so far that you would say, well, Joseph was this kind of gentleman, this kind of person, and this is what I want to take from him. Yes, sir?
Extremely patient.
Yes, that's for sure. We're about to find him in prison a couple of years after the butler was released and put back into his position. And remember what he said to the butler: hey, when you get out of here, don't forget about me. Tell Pharaoh that I'm here, but I shouldn't be. I've been falsely accused, and put in a good word for me so that I can get out of this place. And the butler didn't. He forgot. And so Joseph was a very patient individual. And that's certainly something that I need to learn in my life, being patient, waiting on the Lord, being patient in general, with myself, with my own growth, with other people. Just patience. It's a good thing. When I think of how patient God is with me, and He's extremely patient, it really challenges my heart to be patient with other people. How dare I lose my patience with those around me when God won't lose His patience with me, but should. So that's sort of what comes to my mind. Anything else about Joseph's life that we want to consider this morning or that we've been learning about? Humble, obedient, and faithful. All very true. Joseph was humble. He absolutely demonstrated a humble attitude in regards to his captors, in regards to his brothers, and he continues to demonstrate that throughout the story of Joseph. And he was obedient. He was obedient to his father, who said, go, check on your brothers. He was obedient to his masters. He was obedient to the Lord God and faithful. Faithful to his beliefs, faithful to his God, faithful to those morals that he demonstrates. Amen. Anything else this morning in regards to Joseph? Some of the things that we highlighted as we've been looking through this, he said at one point to his father, here am I. He was a willing servant, faithful, obedient, here am I. And so we take from that, Lord, here am I. Like Joseph said, here am I to his father. We say to our father, here am I. Like Isaiah said, here am I. Send me, use me, allow me to serve you in some way. He was separated from his brothers. His own received him not. Sometimes we are not received as kindly as we would like to be. The Lord Jesus Christ was not received by his own. And the Bible does say that we will be separated. People will separate themselves from us. And I've experienced that. Whenever you start to talk about the Lord or, you know, spiritual things, I get it. It can be uncomfortable and awkward. And sometimes you can physically see people start to separate themselves from you. Like, well, this guy's one of these, you know, wackos talking about God and the Bible. And it's not always enjoyable to have people sort of ostracize you because of your love for God and your faith. But it happens. Joseph understands that. The Lord Jesus Christ understands that. He was, at a certain point, he was safe in the pit. Though he was in a pit, we recognize that the other option was to kill him. And so he was safe in the pit. Sometimes we find ourselves in these places. We don't understand why, but we are safe. Genesis 39:2, we remember that God was with him. God was with him in every step of the way, and God is with us. Even in our difficulties and our circumstances, we might not realize or understand, why am I in this pit? But God might be saying, I know you don't understand, but I'm keeping you safe. Just wait a little longer. It's going to be okay. Jotted down, he was being shaped. He was a servant. Every difficulty that he endured brought him closer to the will of God and ultimately to the deliverance of his family and the reunion with his father. And so these are the sorts of things that the Lord is doing in our lives. Every difficulty that we experience brings us closer to the Father, brings us closest to the end of our race, where we want to see our Lord and Savior, the prize, the high calling, and hear, well done, good and faithful servant. So there's a lot of things that we can glean from the life of Joseph and apply in our own lives. But let's get back into the text. So we find here Pharaoh having a dream. And he's a little bit troubled by the dream. We talked about this to some length last week. But it says in chapter 41, verse 1, and it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. I love again how God can get the attention of the unsaved. People that don't interact with God, God can still get their attention in some way, shape, or form. And here Pharaoh, who probably isn't all that interested in Joseph's God at this point. He's got bigger things on his mind. He's the leader of the world at this point. And God is still able to get his attention. Just pop a little dream inside of his head, a couple of dreams, and he won't be able to shake it, and he's got to have some answers. So Pharaoh dreams a dream. It says, and behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine and fat-fleshed, and they fed in a meadow. This word kine or kin is cattle. And it says that they come out of the river, 7 of them, and they were all well favored. They were fat. They were well fed. These were good looking cattle as they come up out of the river. Good looking kine, as it were, cows. It says in verse 3, and behold, 7 other kine came up out of them, or after them, out of the river, ill favored and lean fleshed, and stood by the other kind upon the brink of the river. So the first one was pretty clear. The first 7 came out, they were fat flesh. They were healthy looking beef. And they come up out of the river. They're looking good. They're looking edible. But then we see in the dream 7 others coming up, and they're ill favored and lean flesh. What does that mean? Yeah, skinny, sickly looking. They didn't look all that, you know, healthy, emaciated, yeah. And that's the way that I imagine them, that he dreamed these things were emaciated. You could see the bones sticking out through the skins. They come up out of the river. Remember, this is a dream. And this dream troubles Pharaoh. He's trying to understand what this is all about. It says, and the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kind did eat up the seven well-favored and fat kind, so Pharaoh awoke. So these seven skinny, sickly, emaciated cows come up out of the river, and they gobble up the seven fat-fleshed cows. It's a weird thing to consider, but maybe that's why it troubled Pharaoh. He's had this dream. He wakes up. You ever wake up and you know you've just had a dream and you can remember it and you're thinking, well, that was odd. And then what do we do? We go back to sleep. Pharaoh wakes up. He has this dream, says in verse 5, and he slept and dreamed the second time. And behold, seven ears of corn came up upon one stalk, rank and good. And there's a little misconception here about corn. When we read corn here, what are we talking about? Grain. Yeah, that's right. Corn hadn't even made it to this part of the world yet. And so when you see the word corn here, it's actually speaking of grain. That's not a big deal, but anyway, just as we envision this in our mind, he sees grain, right? This is food coming up, growing up, and he sees these seven thin ears of, verse 5, these seven ears of corn come up upon one stalk, rank and good, so full and healthy and good looking and would be good for food. Verse 6, and behold, seven thin ears and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them, and the seven thin ears devoured the seven rank and full ears, and Pharaoh woke, and behold, it was a dream. So Pharaoh wakes up, he's had these two dreams, and what is happening here is God is setting in motion the next part of his plan for not only Joseph, but also for Egypt and for the many that would come and be fed through the corn, through the grain that had been preserved, through Joseph, who had some good ideas and was brought before Pharaoh. So all of these things that we're reading here this morning, these dreams that Pharaoh had, is really God beginning to instigate his plan, the next part of his plan. I need Pharaoh to have these dreams because he's showing Pharaoh, doesn't know yet, but he's showing Pharaoh what's about to happen in his kingdom. And Pharaoh wakes up, he's troubled by these dreams that he has, verse 8, and it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all of the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof, and Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. This is the best of the best that Pharaoh calls, right? These are the wisest of the nation. These are the smartest men, the magicians, those that were elevated to these positions of authority because they were capable or claimed to be capable of doing things and prophesying things that ordinary individuals couldn't. So he brings these magicians, he brings these wise men before him, and he says, look, I've had these dreams. I want to know what they mean. And they couldn't help him. Now, this is going to be a bit difficult maybe for you to read my mind, but there's something I'm thinking about, and I'm just going to ask, what do you make of that? What does that tell us about not only Pharaoh and his nation and the cream of the crop, the best of the best that he had, but about every nation and every leader? What does this truth tell us? And he called for the best to come to help him, and as we read, none could help him. None could interpret his dream. He didn't ask God. That's true. And what does Joseph say? He's already said it a couple of times. Well, God is the interpreter of dreams. God is the one that can help us to understand the things that we don't understand, the things that are confusing, the things that seem like puzzles to us, whether it's a dream or life in general. God is able to help us understand these things. Yeah, he called for the best of the best, and they couldn't help him. And it's so true, and even in our world today, the nations, the leaders of these nations, they look around and they call the best of the best to come and to solve problems, but they don't call on the one who can solve every problem. Talking with some friends last night about the wars in our world, and the verse in James came up, how it tells us that there are wars because we don't ask God. We have not because we ask not. And so we try to fend for ourselves and we ignore God and we end up in more trouble. And this is what's happening or could happen to Pharaoh, except for God's providence and how the butler finally remembers his mistake in forgetting Joseph. But it just goes to show that the very best of the best can't do some of the things that are necessary to be done. The wise men, the magicians came and they couldn't help Pharaoh. And that's who else is he going to call? That's it. These are the best I have. So now I guess I live the rest of my life wondering what that dream meant, wondering what those dreams were all about. Except God had a plan and God had other arrangements made already. Take a look in verse 9. It says, "Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day." So I don't know what the scene was like. I don't know if Pharaoh's sitting around kind of kicking back, and he brings all his wise men in and says, "Look, guys, I got to talk to you about something." And, "Oh, bring in the butler so we can have a glass of wine while we're talking here. But here's the dreams I had," and they're all kind of, "Well, we don't know. We can't help you." And then the butler, who typically I would assume is just, you just be quiet and do your job and serve the drinks and all that kind of stuff, he speaks out. Remember, he is an officer of the court. And he says, "Oh, Pharaoh, hold on a second. Wait a minute. I do remember my faults this day. I forgot all about a guy that I met in prison. He was the captain of those in prison, and he was looking after us." I'll read the verse so I don't ad lib here. But I love the fact that the butler finally remembers. He says, I forgot. He even claimed that it was a wrongdoing. "Oh, I remember my faults. I told him I would remember him, this guy Joseph, but I didn't. That was 2 years ago." Now, do you think God had anything to do with that? Yeah, absolutely. On purpose, God made sure that this butler didn't remember him for 2 full years. Now, it might feel like Joseph has every right to go to God and say, "What's that all about? I had to sit in prison for 2 more years. But it tells me that it's not a waste of time, because God doesn't waste our time or his. It tells me that sitting in prison for 2 more years was part of God's plan for Joseph. And I believe Joseph made the best of his time in prison, though he didn't want to be there. And he made that clear when he said to the butler, "Look, can you just talk to Pharaoh about me? I don't want to get out of here." And yet God said, "Yeah, I know you do, but I have a better plan, and you'll see." And so for 2 more years, he sits in prison. The butler finally remembers, "Oh, hold on a second. There's a guy." Let's read the verse. Verse 10, "Pharaoh was wroth with his servants and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker." And I know this doesn't probably come to our mind, but who wants to admit that? "Oh, yeah, remember when you were really angry with me? I think I'll bring that up right now, Pharaoh, you know. Remember how angry you were with me and you threw me in prison because you were so upset with me? Remember that?" You know? But you see, I believe that this is God motivated. It now is the time. God is bringing all things together apart in regards to his plan, and whatever the butler wanted. Maybe the butler was like, "Ooh, I shouldn't have said that." Didn't matter. This was necessary. The butler needed to say what he said. And he says, "You remember that? You put me in prison. Put me in the ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker, and we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream." So the butler begins to explain, "Look, we had some dreams that we didn't understand, and there was a guy, and he told us about our dreams." Verse 12, "And there was there with us a young man in Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. Each man, according to his dream, he did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged." So the butler is saying, "Look, I forgot all about that guy. We had a couple of dreams. Me, remember that, Pharaoh? Me, I was thrown into prison and the baker. Well, we had dreams when we were there. And we didn't understand those dreams. We were troubled by them. And so this guy, Joseph, who the captain of the guard put in charge of us, he came in one day and he asked us about our dreams. And he told us what they meant. And what he said actually happened. You restored me just as he said you would. And the baker, you hanged him just as Joseph said." So here the butler is sticking his neck out and saying, "Look, I know somebody that I think can help you, because here's what he did for us." All the wise men, all the magicians, you know, the elite are standing around there. What is this dream? "We don't know, Pharaoh. We can't help you." And all of a sudden the butler is like, "Hey, I know a guy in prison. He helped us." And I think he can help you. Look at verse 13. It came to pass as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. I love that. You know, Joseph, after sending the butler back to his position, has been waiting, wondering, when is it going to be my turn? Likely calling out to God, Lord, how much longer? You know, remind that butler to talk to Pharaoh about me. I want to get out of this place. But now we see God's providence, God's plans unfolding, and Pharaoh sends for Joseph. Pharaoh. This isn't the captain of the guard. This isn't dad saying, here, Joseph, come and do something for me. This isn't his brothers or his slave owners. This is Pharaoh. And ultimately, it's God. You see, that's what's so wonderful about the life of Joseph is, and I hate to use this image, but it's God is sort of not manipulating, but he's orchestrating, that's the word, all of these events in such a way that he is clearly in control of everything. Pharaoh is the guy that people see as being in charge, but ultimately over Pharaoh, it's God, whether Pharaoh knows it or not. And so as Pharaoh sends for Joseph, it's just as well that God himself is using Pharaoh as his servant to say, send for Joseph. It's time for him to get out of prison. My plans are going to continue to unfold. Just in the next 5 minutes, we're going to close a little earlier this morning so we have time to prepare for the morning service. But verse 14, it says, he sent, called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. Joseph, who sent others away from himself, having helped them, is now being sent for. I love that. He changes his clothes, puts on, you know, they likely gave him something suitable to wear before Pharaoh, shaved his head and, you know, likely everything for fear of lice and those kinds of things, just to be clean. And he stands before Pharaoh. He sends for him, he comes up, and he's brought before Pharaoh. Verse 15, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. So interesting to think of Joseph. This whole mess, or at least part of the mess, started because of dreams. He's walking around, hey, I had a dream, guys. Want to hear about it? Yeah, I'm going to be someday standing in front of you guys, and you're all going to be worshiping me, or bowing down before me, I should say. And he tells his brothers, and he tells his family his dreams. And then he ends up in Egypt, and he tells a couple of other people in prison their dreams. And now he's standing before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh had a couple of dreams. And Pharaoh says, well, here's my dreams. Maybe you can help me. And I think at this point, Joseph is beginning to recognize, if he hasn't already, boy, God has a lot for me to do here. And how liberating, how incredible it is to recognize that I am in the service of the King of Kings. It's not that I'm just wasting away in prison. It's not that I've been sold and forgotten into slavery. It's not that my family hates and despises me and all is lost. It's that I am being directed by the God of creation according to his purposes for me and others. That is amazing. And it's exactly what's happening to you and I. It is. It's exactly what's happening to you and I in our lives, in our places of employment, in our church, in our community, in our homes, as we follow the Lord as best we can, humble, faithful, obedient, patient. God is directing us, and he's using us in different. We may not be interpreting dreams for people, but we are interpreting Scripture. We're helping people understand who God is and what his will is for them. And so it's incredible to recognize that. We are literally in the service of God. And who are we? We're nobody. And yet God would extend that grace to anyone and everyone. What's the condition? What has to be accomplished in order to be in the service of the Most High God? Faith. Faith. That's all it takes to believe. To say, as Joseph did to his father, here am I. What do you want me to do? Faith. I've said this before, and I'll say it probably many more times. The world wants evidence, and then they will demonstrate faith based on the quality and the quantity of evidence. If you show me God, if you prove to me that there is a God, then I will take a step of faith towards him. That's not how it works. It's not how faith works. and it isn't how God works. Now, there are times when God reveals himself very clearly and people can't deny it. I got that. But as Christians, we come to faith first. And when we come to faith, when we believe, when we choose to say, you know what, I believe this is true. I believe the Word of God is true, that God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And that he didn't come to this world just to show off. He came to this world to demonstrate, number one, that I am God in the flesh. And number two, you guys have broken this place, and I'm here to fix it. And so I'm going to give up my life, lay it down, as a sacrifice for all of the sins that mankind is committing, so that there is payment made. Christ died on the cross to pay for our sins. And the Bible says when we believe that, when we confess our sins and we turn to him and say, Lord, I need that forgiveness. I need your grace, your mercy. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I'm tired of following other people. I'm tired of following my own deceitful heart or my own ideas and imaginations about who you are. I want to follow you and only you. And I believe who you are, who you say you are, the Son of God, and that you died for me. The Bible says that we become born again. We're born the first time in the flesh, the second time we're born spiritually, as new creatures, children of God, servants of the Most High, disciples of Christ, ambassadors of Christ. We are now in the family of God, in the service of God, in the kingdom of God. And that's all it takes, is to believe him, to submit to him and to say, you are who you say you are. I am a sinner. Forgive me. Save me. And God will do exactly that, and he'll use us. And just as Joseph was in the service of God, so are we. And what a privilege it is. Just as we close here, I'm going to read one more verse. Finish verse 15, I guess I should say. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst interpret, or thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. Verse 16, and Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not me. Even in the moment as he's standing before Pharaoh, now is the opportunity, Joseph, you have the greatest opportunity to impress this guy with your wit and your skill. You know, he could have just said, yeah, you're right, Pharaoh. I've been in prison for 2 years, though. Let's talk about that first. You know, falsely accused. I got some heads that I want to roll before I help you out. By the way, I need some nice clothes, and I wouldn't mind a new chariot. A better place to live. You know, he could have really threw his weight around in this moment. He doesn't do any of that, of course. And he doesn't even take credit for being able to interpret the dreams, because he could have just done that. Yeah, you know, I've done it before. I'll help you out. But he is careful, and on purpose, he points to God. Because, you know, you could have figured it out. Well, you know, I'm going to help you out. God is going to be the one that does it. But, you know, without me, God couldn't help you. He doesn't do any of that. He makes it very clear. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not me. And that's exactly the same response that I would give and that we would give to others who say, you know, where do you get this peace from? Where do you get this confidence from that the Bible is true and that you're going to heaven someday? It is not me. Who is it? It's God. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And that's what he does for us. It's not by our strength or our might, but by the Lord God's might. Any comments or thoughts as we close this morning? The story is so great. It doesn't really wane at any point. Right all the way up to the very end. It's just riveting. I love it. And I've really enjoyed studying through this and being able to share it with you folks. We'll pick it up here next week, but we're going to close and prepare for our time of worship this morning in remembrance. Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to be here this morning. We thank you for Christ, your Son. Father, who you sent to this world to be a sacrifice for our sins. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. That you don't require us to be perfect, that you don't require us to have lots of money or lots of wisdom or lots of strength, that you only require us to come as we are, to humble ourselves, to confess, yes, I'm a sinner, and that I believe Jesus Christ is your Son who died for me. That, Lord, when we do this, the Bible says we are forgiven of our sins, that we are saved, we are safe. And never again for the rest of our lives do we have to fear death or what happens when we leave this world. But instead, we can grow to understand it day by day as we look at your word and you help us to interpret the things, Lord, that are laid out in Scripture. As you help us to grow in our character to become more like Christ. As you use us, Father, as you direct our paths to be a part of your work, just like you did for Joseph. It is such a privilege, Father. And Lord, this is what we want for others. We're not trying to impress upon the world any ideas about how great and wonderful we are, but how great and wonderful you are. It's about you. And the peace and the joy and the rest and the hope and the liberty and the freedom that we experience, we want everyone to know. Lord, we pray for wisdom and for your help to do exactly that, to share these truths with others. We thank you for Joseph, for the example that he is, and for the time that we've had this morning. We ask for your blessing now on the morning service here in a few minutes. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right. Thank you, folks.